Good morning, everyone. Hello. Can you greet your seatmate? Can you say good morning? Hi. There. And can you wave at the camera and say welcome to those joining us online? Welcome. We're so glad that you can join us as we continue our series. This is actually the second season of our series in the book of Romans. And I really hope and I pray you've been learning a lot because the book of Romans is such an amazing book. You know, the first part or the first season of this series, we talked about our greatest problem. Can you ask your seatmate, do you have a problem? I think so, okay? I think all of us, we have problems. But last season, we realized that our greatest problem is sin. And we need a solution for that. And that's why this second season, we started off last week, the topic or the title is the real solution. We want to figure out what is the real solution to our greatest problem, which is sin. And Pastor Peter opened up this new season wonderfully with the best news. This was our topic last week. He talked about the best news that you can be sure of heaven. There is certainty for heaven. And that's why there's that ABC. I hope you've memorized that. And that's very easy to memorize. You have to admit first that you're a sinner. You need a savior. You cannot save yourself. And then believe with all of your heart that only Jesus can save you, that He died, He rose again. And of course, that genuine belief should result to commitment. Because a lot of people say, I believe, I know this, I know that, but there's no commitment. And that's not genuine belief. We have to understand that genuine belief will always result to commitment. Just like in a marriage, you believe that you really love your spouse, you're gonna be committed to your wife. So that's the ABC. And what's wonderful about the topic last week is we looked at Romans chapter 3. And that entire ABC, we can find it there in Romans chapter 3, that we are sinners, we need a Savior, we need to believe, and we need to commit. And what I love about Romans chapter 3 is it strongly supports what Jesus Christ declared in John 14:6. Can we read that together? In John 14:6, we can read there, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus Christ is saying, there's no other way to heaven. And I believe a lot of us know that already. But maybe for some of us, we still don't fully believe that. And hopefully today's message will convince you that He is the only way, truth, and life. And it was explained clearly in Romans chapter 3 that Jesus, He's the only way. It's not church, it's not religion, it's not good works, it's not giving your tithes. I mean, those things are very good, but those things will not bring you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. So here's my question as we start this topic today. If it's crystal clear, if it's crystal clear that only Jesus is the only way to go to heaven, how come some people still hold on to their way of salvation? How come there are still people, we force it? No, this is really the only way. I think this is the way. And I believe there are several reasons for that. Maybe you know of certain people that they have a reason why they still hold on to that. And hopefully, in today's topic, we will all realize and we will all be reminded that only Jesus is the way. So what are those possible reasons? Maybe somehow, number one, one possible reason is, well, this has been my belief, okay? I've been believing this for quite some time now. And wait a minute, Pastor Marty, are you saying that my grandparents and my parents who taught me this belief system that I'm believing right now, they're wrong? Are you saying that? And of course, it's so hard sometimes to, you know, tell people, yeah, they're wrong. We want to be sensitive. But here's the thing. If they're wrong and we keep on believing in that, then we're also in the wrong. That's why the book of Romans was written. Now, we're not sure whether your grandparents, your parents, or other family members, if they have believed in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ knows that. But that kind of reason is somehow very popular in our world system today. Another possible reason is this one. For some people, they say, well, are not all belief systems the same? I remember I saw this video clip online where this famous celebrity, a talk show host in the U.S., not in the Philippines, I'm not going to mention her name, but you know her. And she said, well, all religion, every belief system, they really lead to eternity, to eternal life, to a life that is wonderful. And as a result of that, a lot of people right now are saying, well, I think that's right. Maybe all belief systems lead to that. And that's why we have Romans chapter 4. I'm going to explain that later on. Because Paul clearly explained there's only one way. Now, for some people, they hold on to this kind of reason. Well, for me, I just know that God is love, right? That it's spreading all over in social media, in your Instagram, on different series, on Netflix, whatever you watch online. They all talk about love, love, love. And they always say, you know, God is love. He accepts everyone. Definitely, He welcomes everyone. But in the first season of this series, we realized, wait a minute, God is just. He really gives wrath to those who are sinful. So this statement is also not accurate. But some people believe in that. For me, I just know that God is love. So I think He will save me no matter what I do. And this problem is not just for those who don't go to church. Even those people sometimes, sad to say, who goes to church, they have this mindset, well, I attend church already. I think God has showed love to me. I can do whatever I want. I can get drunk, I can do drugs, do immorality, whatever that I want, because I know God loves me. But here's the thing. Hopefully at the end of this message, you'll realize that because of God's love, and if you have received God's love, your life will be transformed. Can you look at your seatmate? Nagbago na ba yan? Yeah, or did that person's life change already? You don't need to say, okay, you don't need to say you might fight today. No, okay. So this is some of the reasons. Another possible reason is, eto, this is quite popular all over the world. I think I'm a good person compared to most people. You know, Pastor Marty, this guy seated beside me, I don't know if he's a good person, but I'm better than him, right? Maybe, I don't know if you're thinking about that, but there are a lot of people, wait a minute, I'm good. I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I think I'm going to heaven. I think I'm saved already. Now, for some people, their possible reason is, you know, wait a minute. I've been taught about this by certain popular religious leaders. I've been taught that maybe some religious leaders, they would say Jesus is not God. Or some religious leaders would say, no, Jesus is not the only way. You need to be part of a church. You need to be baptized. You need to give your tithes. You need to do all of these things. And if you do all of these things, you'll be saved. And they're smart, Pastor Marty. So you mean to say they're wrong? They've studied it. That's why we have Romans chapter 4. Because these reasons are not something new. In fact, the Apostle Paul had to deal with different Jewish leaders who had reasons for their salvation. They think they're saved because of what they did. And now these Jewish people are teaching the Gentiles, teaching different people, you're not saved because you're not doing what we are doing. Where can we find that? In Romans chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. What then, what shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to us, to the flesh, has found. Now let me pause for a while. Why did Paul started with Abraham? Because the Jewish people, this is their argument. Listen to me here. This is their argument. Their argument is this. You know, you Gentiles are non-Jewish people. So just like us, we're non-Jewish people. They're saying, you know, non-Jewish people, you're not saved because our forefather, Abraham, who've encountered Yahweh, God, he got circumcised. He did something. And that something is the as a result of that, he was saved. So that's what they're teaching people. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow the law. You need to do all of these things in order that you will be saved. Look at the next verse, in verse 2. For if Abraham, Paul was trying to explain to the Jewish people and even to the Gentiles who were already being deceived by this belief system. For if Abraham was justified by works, when you say justified, declared not guilty. You are sinful, you've made mistakes, but you're not guilty. Guilty. That's what they're saying. If Abraham was justified because of his works, then he has something to brag about or boast about. It's not before God. It's like saying, okay, God, you need to help me. You need to allow me to go to heaven. Why? Because I did something. That's what this is saying, the Jewish people are saying. And that's why Romans chapter 4 was written, to tell the Jewish people, I want to correct what you're thinking. I want you to realize
that even if you're a good person, even if you keep on attending church, even if you give your tithes and do all of these things or be part of a small group, I mean, these things, again, are good. But if you don't have faith, you are not saved. Our topic for today is very simple. Let's read this together. We have the best assurance. And what is the best assurance? God is a promise keeper. Can you tell your seatmate, God is a promise keeper? 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah, that's the best assurance. If last week we talked about the best news, we can go to heaven. Now in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is telling us, even the Israelites, the Jewish people, you know why we can go to heaven? Because of Jesus. He is a promise keeper. Now this message is for everyone. If some of you, you're still doubting that Jesus is the only way, my prayer is at the end of this message, it will be crystal clear that no religion, no good works can save you, only Jesus. Now, maybe for a lot of us here, we know that already. Jesus is the only way. But somehow, in this journey of our faith, we're starting to doubt God because of the challenges. High prices, COVID cases, sickness, different difficulties in the family, whatever that is. Hopefully, this message will also remind you that God is a promise keeper. What is our message again today? God is a promise keeper. And in this message, we're going to look at three things. So if he is a promise keeper, and I really believe he is a promise keeper, then I need to trust his character. Then I need to trust his power, and I need to trust his timing. I need to trust his character, who he is, because he's very consistent. I need to trust his power, and I need to trust his timing. So let's look at the first one, trusting his character. What does this mean, Pastor Marty? You know, God's character is very consistent in the Old Testament until today. In other words, God will never go against his nature. If he says he is good, he is perfectly good. If he says he is just, he will really not let the guilty unpunished. If he says he is loving, he loves you dearly. If he says he is the only Savior, the way, the truth, and life, then we have to believe in that, that there's no other way except Jesus Christ. He will never go against his nature. That's why the Apostle Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 4, he talked about Abraham, because the Jewish people, they were banking on it. Hey, we are our forefather there. His name is Abraham. He was circumcised. That's why he was saved. And here's now Paul explaining to the Jewish people, no, that's not how you're saved. For what does the scripture say? Look at verse 3. Abraham believed in God, and what? It was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, when you see the word righteousness, in God's eyes, you're right. You are a right person, a righteous person. You're not guilty. He doesn't see sin. He sees someone that, wow, you're a good person. You can enter heaven. You're right. Can you look at your seatmate? Pasok ba yan? Righteous ba yan? Wala, ayaw magsalita. Anyway, so, right? So this is what Apostle Paul is saying here. It was credited, and this is in Genesis 15. We're going to look at that later on. And then in verse 4, he says, now to the one who works, the wages are not credited as a favor, but as what is due. I mean, a lot of us are working. Who among here, you have a job? Can you raise your hand? You have a job. There you go. So a lot of people are working here. Now, when your pay is given to you on the 15th or the 30th, what do you feel? Do you feel like, wow, thank you, boss, you're so gracious, I don't deserve it? No, we don't say that to our boss. We don't say that to accounting. In fact, if there's a delay in the payment, hey, where's my payment? Tagal-tagal, ha? 15 na. Where's the payment? I deserve that. It's the same principle that Paul is saying. When we work for our salvation, and then we're going to enter heaven, the usual mindset is, Lord, I'm a good person. I gave to the church. I helped the poor. I did these things. I mean, these guys at my back, they're not that good. So please let me enter heaven. We can brag about that if it's all about works. We don't deserve God's grace. That's why the Apostle Paul is saying, Abraham was not circumcised before he believed. He believed first. He believed first. That's why, look at the next verse. But to the one who does not work, when you say does not work, that means you don't work for your salvation. For the one who does not work for their salvation, but believes in God, who justifies, declares us not guilty, the ungodly, then that faith is credited as righteous because of that faith. Because of your faith, for example, you don't deserve the goodness of the Lord because you have sinned. And then you go to God and you're saying, Lord, I don't deserve this. Could you save me? I don't deserve this. I cannot really enter heaven, but I believe in you. That's faith. And God is saying, that's the kind of heart that I'm looking for. And he mentioned another Bible character in the Old Testament because these are the characters that the Jewish people believe. In verse 6, look at what Paul mentioned. Just as David, what? Also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Meaning to say, you are declared not guilty, not because of your works, but because of faith. Because in the book of Psalms, this is what David said. In Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And this is our memory verse for the week. Blessed, let's read this together. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. You know what I realize? I realize a lot of people, this verse will not make sense because we don't believe how lawless we are. We think we're still good. I hear that from a lot of people, but I'm not really lawless. I've done some sins. I've cheated in an exam. I didn't pay my taxes one time. But I did something to offset that. That's a very common mindset in the world. Because of that mindset, you know Romans chapter 4, verse 7 to 8? We're not going to appreciate it. Because the only people who will appreciate that are those people who realize, I really cannot save myself. Let me illustrate this way. For example, when God says, you can enter heaven, there's a requirement. Let's just say your life is a piece of paper. Here's a piece of paper here. So the requirement to enter heaven is a clean paper. There's no mark. There's nothing written here. There's no dot. That's the requirement to go to heaven. So when you go to heaven, let's say this is your life. Okay, here, Lord. Oh, you're clean. You're perfect. There's no blemish. You can enter heaven. But let's just say you're very lawless and you did so many bad things. You wrote some, you did a lot of stuff. Look at your seatmate. Can you check your seatmate if his life is like this? Ganyan ba yung buhay ko? All right, you did a lot of bad stuff. And then you show it to God. You can't enter heaven. Why? You're not perfect. Right? It's not clean. My requirement is a clean paper. That's not clean. That's not a clean life. Now, let's just say, because a lot of people, they're not like this. Their paper is maybe it looks like this. Okay, I did this, Lord. Just one dot. You know, I sinned just once in my life. Who among you, you just sinned once in your life? Wow, okay, I thought somebody's going to raise their hand. Okay, so let's just say that's your mark. And then a lot of people can say this is what they believe. Okay, and they're proud of it. It's just like in an exam. You get 99, you're proud of it. You get 95, you're proud of it. So that kind of mindset carries over when it comes to salvation. That's why a lot of people, whatever their religion is, this is what they're holding on to. This is my life, Lord. This is my life. So they're about to enter heaven. And then they're going to show the piece of paper. God, one mistake. Please open the door. And what God is saying, no. I cannot accept this. I want perfection. But here's the problem. Nobody's perfect. And that's why we have faith. Let's say this is your life. Or this is your life. When you have faith, it's just like this. Lord, let's say this is your life. This is me right now. I cannot save myself. I cannot go to heaven. I'm just giving my life to you. Do whatever you want. You know what God will do because of faith? He's going to change it with a clean piece of paper. He's going to throw this away. And he's going to change it with a clean piece of paper. Now you can enter heaven. And even if you have like this, even you feel like, I just have a few sins. And in God's eyes, and if you realize, Lord, I'm still lawless because of this, because I don't pass your standards. That's the first part of this series. We don't pass the standards of God. And if we have faith, God is saying, give me your life. I'm going to replace that with a new life. You have a clean life when it comes to your faith in Jesus. Come on, let's give glory to our Lord. That's faith. That's why we have the book of Romans. That's why we need to understand we really cannot save ourselves. It's not comparing to others that I'm better than this person, I'm better than that. Oh, I memorized verses. I've read the scripture so many times. I memorized John 3:16. It's not that. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we've realized that, then we will appreciate this passage, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Imagine, all the more you're going to say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I cannot go to heaven because of your standards, but you have showed me grace. Look at this statement. People who have truly realized how undeserving we are of God's love are the people who will naturally love God with their all. If you have realized in your heart how undeserving you are, or I am, because of my sin, kahit small sins, I don't deserve your grace, Lord. I don't deserve your sacrifice. Those are the people who will naturally love God with their all, because you've received grace. You've received such a wonderful life from God. Those are the people who will experience transformation. That's why sometimes I wonder when I see people that they say they believe in God, but there's no transformation in their life. Because if there's no transformation, I don't think that person truly understands the gospel. If there's no changed life, I don't think the love of God resides in their heart. I don't think they've realized their biggest problem. Because once you realize your biggest problem and you've experienced God's love, it's impossible for you not to change. God will change your life. God will move you to follow Him. What's our message again? God is what? A promise keeper. That's why Paul mentioned the Old Testament, because who he was in the Old Testament is the same God that we're worshiping right now. If he kept his promise to Abraham, to David, to Moses, to all of those Bible characters in the Old Testament, he will keep his promise until today. That's why we have the best assurance. God is a promise keeper. Can you tell your seatmate again, God is a promise keeper? So don't sleep, okay? Don't sleep. God is a promise keeper. So, first is we trust His character. He's very consistent. He's good. Trust Him. He loves us. He's holy. He is just. He is amazingly gracious. And trust His power. When you say His power, He can really change lives. He can really transform you. He can really work in and through your life. And He has a proven track record. Because here's what I realized. We usually trust someone who has a proven track record, right? For example, let's say you got sick with COVID or with a different kind of ailment. And then you go to your most trusted doctor. And then the doctor would give you a receta, would give you certain medication, certain procedure. Usually we don't completely understand that procedure or the medicine, right? Of course, the doctor would try to explain why you would take this, why it's like this, why the procedure is important, but still we don't completely understand. But what are we going to do? I will still buy the medicine. I will still go through the procedure. Why? Because that's the doctor that I trust the most, even if you don't fully understand it, because the doctor has a proven track record. He helped you improve health-wise, and not just that. Let's say in building your house. You go to an architect, you go to an engineer. You don't understand the measurement, the weight, and all of those things, unless you're an engineer. But you go to an engineer, you go to an architect, your trusted engineer and architect to help you build your house. You don't completely understand everything, but since that guy has a proven track record, whatever he says, okay, let's buy those materials. Okay, that's gonna be the size of the house. That's gonna be the weight. Okay, I trust you. I believe in what you're saying. Okay, I agree with you. Why? Because that person has a proven track record. Guess what? Jesus has a perfect track record. We need to trust His power. That's why look at the next part of this chapter, in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 onwards. He says in verse 9, is this blessing, meaning to say the blessing that David was saying in the book of Psalm, is this blessing then on the circumcised, or those who just, you know, followed the law of Moses that you need to be circumcised, or on the uncircumcised? Again, the Jewish people kept pressuring the non-Jewish people, you're not saved. Why? You're not circumcised. You're not obeying the law. You can only be saved when you do this. And in our context, we also do that sometimes. Well, you're not saved. Why? You don't give your tithes. How much did you give? 10,000. Oh, I give more. I'm saved more. Okay? So some people, that's what they think. So that's why, look at what Paul is saying. For faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? When he was circumcised or uncircumcised? He answered that question. What was the answer? Not while circumcised, But while uncircumcised, let me show that passage to you. In Genesis chapter 15, this is what happened. This is where that passage is, where God said it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. In Genesis 15 verse 1, Abraham was quite old already and his wife was quite old. God promised to Abraham that you're going to have descendants. But somehow, he still doesn't have a son. So, what did God say to Abraham? After these things, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." You know why God said this to Abraham? Because Abraham was worried. He was worried that Jesus, or that God, will not fulfill his promise. That God was delayed. That maybe God is not a promise keeper. He was quite worried. How do we know that that's his concern? Because in the next passage, look at what Abraham said. In verses 2 to 3, Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give to me? I mean, you gave your promise, right? I am childless. Since I'm childless, okay, I'm going to make a solution so that your promise will be fulfilled. The heir of my house, the next in line, is going to be Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham also said, since you have failed, Lord, you have given me no son. One who has been born in my house is my heir. Now, how many of us, because we feel that God is delayed, we are forcing the situation? You don't need to raise your hand. I've seen a lot of singles. Can I see the singles here? Can you raise your hand? Ah, meaning you na. Okay, yan. Okay. You know, I hear stories of single people that because, Lord, ang tagal ko na single. 30 years na. Lord, ang bagal nyo. And they try to force it their own way. They try to do their own thing. They try to give in to a wrong relationship. And it always ends up you getting hurt and you going back to God and saying, Lord, I was wrong. Right? So here, Abraham was about to do a major mistake. But then that's why God says, I am your shield. So in the next passage, look at what Abraham said, what God said to Abraham. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. So God said to Abraham, the man, that Eliezer man, he's not going to be your heir. But one who will come from your own body, your natural son, will be your heir. And then, come here outside. So he showed him the sky. Now look towards the heavens. Count the stars if you can. I don't know if you've tried counting the stars, but it's so hard to do that. So Abraham went outside. He looked at the sky. He counted the stars. If you can count them. And then here's God again assuring Abraham, so shall your offspring be. This is my promise to you. Now here's what's so amazing with Abraham. God was speaking to him. God revealed his word. And then, there's no son yet. Huh? There's no son yet. He just said something. And then Abraham, after God said it, Abraham, let's read that together. Then he believed in the Lord. And this kind of belief is a genuine belief. Because God credited it as righteousness. In other words, just by hearing the word of God, with all of his heart, Abraham said, okay, I'm not going to pass this heir or the next in line to Eliezer. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. That's faith. I mean, a lot of us, every Sunday, we hear the word of God. But do we truly believe that? If God says he's going to be your provider, do you believe that? If God says he knows what's best for you, do you believe that? If God says let go of that relationship because that's not right for you, will you believe him? If God says stop practicing those wrong practices in business, will you trust him? Because we hear those so many times. But unlike Abraham, we don't believe. We say now, oh yeah, I like those statements, but I don't believe. But here, Abraham, okay, I don't have a son yet, but I believe. That's why God credited it as righteousness. And here's the thing. After Abraham believed, after he said, I believe in you, Lord, God made a covenant. What's the covenant? Look at what happened here. God said to Abraham in verses 9 to 11, I'm going to explain this in a while. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. So he brought all of these animals to God and he cut them into half. He laid each opposite to another and he did not cut the birds. And the birds of the prey came down upon the carcasses and Abraham drove them away. So what is he talking about here? This is the picture of that one. what is this? What's the relevance of this to Abraham? You have to understand, during their time, when they make a covenant, there's no piece of paper where you write your contract, the details, and then you sign here, and then you ask the other party, you sign here. So let's say you make a promise. Okay, I promise I'm going to do this for you. Okay, here's the contract. There's no contract like that in the Old Testament. How do they assure one another that they're going to keep their promise? Like this. That's the covenant. So the person who's making the promise will tell the other person, give me animals, cut the animals in half, put it on the sides opposite to each other, and here's what I'm going to do. You watch me. You stay on the side. I'm going to walk. I'm the promise keeper. I'm going to walk past these animals, and I'm saying to you, if I don't keep my promise, may whatever happened to these animals happen to me. That's the covenant. Now, here's the thing. God wasn't there physically, but Abraham prepared nonetheless. So he trusted the Lord. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. So I'm going to trust you. Here are the animals. I don't know where you are, but I'm talking to you. But then God put him to sleep. What happened in the next passage? Now, when the sun, verse 12, was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. He fell asleep, and then in that sleep, God revealed to him what's going to happen. God said to Abraham, "Know, Abraham, for certain, that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs." Sounds familiar? "Where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go down to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here where you are right now. For the wrongdoing of the Amorite is not yet complete." What is God saying here? After he said this, this is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. After he said this, Abraham was asleep, and in verse 17, this is what happened. It came about, look at this passage. "When the sun had set, it was very dark, and behold, a smoking oven and flaming torch appeared, and which passed through these pieces." What's that smoking oven and flaming torch? You can find that in verse 18. Let's read verse 18. "On that day," what? "The Lord." That was the Lord passing through dead animals, making a covenant to Abraham and saying to your descendants, Abraham, I will give this land. It's not just an heir. It's not just many people. It's not just as numerous as the stars in the sky, but even land, I'm going to give that to you. Look at that passage once again. Look at that passage in verses 13 to 16. Look at that passage. "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in the land." Yes, it happened. They went to Egypt in the book of Exodus. "They will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. They were in Egypt for 400 plus years. "But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve." God judged the nation, the 10 plagues. "And afterward, they will come out with many possessions." It happened in the book of Exodus. The Egyptians wanted all the Jewish people out of Israel and gave them golds, articles, all of the things that they want. So they were richer when they entered, when they left, than when they entered Egypt. And then in verse 15, "As for you, you shall come down to your father in peace. You will be buried," and that also happened. "And in the fourth generation," the book of Joshua, "the Israelites entered the promised land." God is a promise keeper. Can you tell your seatmate, God is a promise keeper? Come on, let's applaud our God. Let's give glory to Him. He's a promise keeper. Paul mentioned Abraham in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, because he wanted the Israelites to realize, hey, God is a promise keeper. Abraham was righteous before he was circumcised. In fact, look at this statement. God wants us to see His power, but it usually happens when we step in faith. God, He's a promise keeper. He wants you to see how powerful He is. But sometimes, or a lot of times, it usually happens when we step in faith. And I realize a lot of people are missing out on that experience of God's power because you're not obeying. Because you're not stepping in faith. Now, can you tell your seatmate, mag-obey ka na. Go, can you tell your seatmate, mag-obey ka na kasi. Seriously. Because a lot of people, they know God's promises. They want to experience the power of God. They want to experience the miracle. But there's no obedience. How can we see the power, the grace of God, or the mercies or the miracles of the Lord if we don't step in faith? That's what Abraham experienced. And that's what you and I will experience when we step in faith. I remember before when I was still studying, grade school, high school, college, one of the subjects that I really dreaded the most was English, okay? I don't like English. I don't like reading books. I don't like writing. My favorite subject is math. I know some of you don't like math. I love math, but I don't like English. In fact, when I had my entrance exam in this college, the best college, okay, for me, okay? In this college, I almost failed. I just passed just a little bit because of my math. I had a good grade, a good score in math. It was a superior rank. But then my English was below average. So I was in the wait list section of that school. But by God's grace, I entered the school. In fact, when I entered the school, they had to put me to basic English subject before the regular English. I had to go to basic English just to do these things, learn, and eventually, by God's grace, I graduated from college. Now, come 2019, I don't like English, ah. Come 2019, God impressed in my heart to write a book. And I was like, Lord, I'm not good in English. I don't like writing. I don't even like reading. I may not read my own book if I write it, right? So, but God was really giving me the burden. You write a book, you just write it, okay. Good thing I married a wife who is really good in writing, so he will check the things that I write, okay? But I was telling God, okay, Lord, sige, I trust you. I trust your power. So I started writing. I finished one chapter after another. In a span of 1 year, I was able to finish that book. And by God's grace, last October 2021, I was able to publish the book entitled Pray Bold Prayers. And this is only by God's grace. Yes, we can applaud our God for that. I'm sharing these things because I've seen God's power at work in my life. We all have weaknesses. Lahat naman tayo, we all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. We are tempted. But here's the thing, God can work past through that, give us the strength to really do His work and finish the task He's entrusted to us. If God is telling you, you start your own small group, God will empower you. If God is telling you, invite someone to church, share the gospel to someone, He's gonna empower you. If God is telling you to serve in the ministry, whatever that is, step in faith. And not just doing things for God, but even if God is telling you to obey, to do this thing, to apologize to your wife, apologize to your kids, to make right your family, stop being in an immoral relationship, whatever that is, let's step in faith, even though it's hard. And I promise you, you will see God's powerful work in your life. Because He is, what? A promise keeper. Again, tap the shoulder of your seatmate. Tell him, God is a promise keeper. Again, louder, can I hear all of you? One, two, three, go. God is a promise keeper. Now look at the next passage. And then He clarified to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, because He wanted to deal with their belief about circumcision. He told them, Paul told them, he received the sign, Abraham received the sign of circumcision. We read Genesis 15, right? Do you know when Abraham was circumcised? Not Genesis chapter 16, but Genesis chapter 17. It took a few times before he got circumcised. And then Paul said to the Jewish people, the circumcision was a sign. It's a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe. It's for everyone, not just those who are circumcised or the Jewish people, but also those who were credited to them righteousness because of their faith, even if they're not circumcised. In other words, what Paul is saying here is this: everything we do for God, going to church, giving tithes, all of these things, being part of a small group, attending leadership conferences, helping other people, helping the poor, giving to other organizations, whatever that is that we're doing, we do it as a result of our faith in Jesus. Because I believe in Jesus, I'm gonna do this. Just like when we love our spouse or we love our kids, we want to do things for them because we love them. They didn't do anything that made us love them. No, the moment that my kids were born, I loved them dearly. Whatever they will do, I will still love them. That's the love that we should have for God. It's not, okay, Lord, I'm doing these things. You should accept me. No, God is saying, I accept you no matter who you are, but I want you to believe. And the moment we believe, if it's genuine, listen to me here, if it's really genuine, it's going to change your life. You're going to do these things. I'm going to give my tithes. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to be part of a small group. I'm going to lead a small group because I love you and I have faith in you. That's why in the next passage, in verse 16, look at what Paul said. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be accordance to. Now let me explain that. If it's about works, then it's not about grace. If it's works, if it's not faith and salvation is by works, you don't need grace. Because grace is undeserved. I don't deserve it. If you can work for it, you don't need grace. But since you need grace, you step in faith and say, God, Lord, you said you're a promise keeper and I'm a sinner. I've done many crazy things. I've been attending church, but I'm not serious with you, but I want to be serious with you. Please pour out your grace in my life. Faith and grace goes together. So that, look at the next part of the verse, the promise will be guaranteed to all descendants, not only those who are of the law, but to those of the faith of Abraham. It's for everyone. Everyone's welcome. But you need to step in faith. What's our message again? God is a promise keeper. So if he's a promise keeper, I need to trust his character. He's very consistent. I need to trust his character. I need to trust his power that he can really change lives. He can really save. He's the only Savior. And his power can work in and through your life if you just believe. We need to step in faith. And finally, I need to trust his timing. And this is also found in Romans chapter 4. Because sometimes the problem with us is this. We don't see that God's timing is the best. You know, God keeps his promises, all of it, in his own time. And his timing is always perfect. I hear that from a lot of people. The reason why they're struggling trusting God, let's say this is their path following the Lord, and they suddenly they start veering away, going to another direction. Okay, Lord, I'm not going to follow you muna. I'm just going to do my own stuff. I know you're gracious naman, so I'm just going to go back to my old ways. You know why some people do that? Because they don't see the promise right away. And maybe some of you are in that stage already. You're in that stage now, Lord, I've read your word many times. I've went to church. I know you're a promise keeper, but I don't see it right now. It's still crazy right now. I don't see it. Trust that his timing is perfect. Look at what Abraham did. Look at what happened to him. In verses 17 onwards, in verses 17 and 8 onwards, look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is found in Genesis 17. In the presence of him who believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that do not exist. So that's the power of God, the character of God. Now here, going back to Abraham, verse 18, look at verse 18. In hope against hope, he believes. What do you mean, hope against hope? Let's continue reading. So that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. You know what's happening in Genesis 17? Because those in quotation marks, those are found in Genesis 17. He wasn't crucified. He wasn't circumcised yet, and he doesn't have children yet. And now God is saying once again in Genesis 17 to Abraham, "I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you." Look at the grammar there. Oh, okay, pala sa English. I have made you, right, a father of many nations. And here's Abraham in Genesis 17. I don't have children. What do you mean you have made me? But he believed. And then look at the next part, the promise. Look at the next part in verse 18. Look at the next part. So shall your descendants be. That's also found in Genesis 17. But still he doesn't have kids. So he's like, I don't have descendants. But he believed. He was waiting on the Lord. Look at the next passage in verses 19 onwards. Without being weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. He looked at his own body. Now, how did he evaluate his body? Now, as good as dead. In other words, matanda na po siya. Okay? Now, I don't want you to tell your seatmate, uy, no, wag naman. Don't say that, okay? But look at what he's saying to himself. I'm as good as dead, Lord, but okay. You say I have descendants, but I'm 100 years old. Look at it. As good as dead, he was about 100 years old. And the deadness, look at this, their description of Sarah's womb. You're also old, Sarah. You're 99 years old. It's impossible for you to give birth or even to get pregnant. 99, 100. Let's read verse 20. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured. Let's read that line. That God has promised, he was also able. That's faith, guys. That's what Abraham did. Genesis 17, trust in the Lord. I'm old, Lord. I'm good as dead. My wife, she's good as dead as well. We're all old, but you said we're going to have descendants. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to trust you. You know, my prayer is our faith will be like that. I'm going to be honest with you because there are times that my faith is not like that. That I doubt. I question God's character. I question his power. I question his timing. Especially when you're in a difficult spot. I mean, that's understandable. Somebody's sick in your family. So many expenses and you couldn't pay for it. There's so many things that are happening in your work or in your family. God is not solving the problem. And you're like, Lord, I thought you loved me. I thought you're this. I thought you're like that. What's happening to me? And God is saying, stay in the course. Stay in my way. Stay in my path. Keep believing in me. Follow the faith of Abraham. He waited for years, even though it was impossible. And listen to me here. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, let's give glory to God for that. I promise you guys, nothing is impossible for him. That's why look at the next part. When Abraham believed, again, he repeated it. God, in verse 22 of Romans chapter 4, credited to him as righteousness. Do you know that God loves it so much when we step in faith? He's applauding when we're stepping in faith. He knows how difficult it is. And then when we're persevering, when we're holding on, when we keep on walking in step with God, God is honored and God is promising you, I'm not going to leave you, son. I'm not going to leave you, my daughter. I'm going to be with you. I know it's hard, but I'm going to give you strength. Don't give up. That's right. This thing that you're doing is right. It honors me. And I promise everything will work well. Because all things work together for the good of those who love God. And that's why this passage is also assuring all of us. Because in the next passage, Romans 4, 23 to 25, it's for us as well. It's not just the story of Abraham. It's our story too. In verse 23, this is what what Paul was saying. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him. Meaning this, it's not just for Abraham. You Jewish people, you Gentiles who believe, it's also for our sake to whom this righteousness will be credited. That in God's eyes, he is honored by what you're doing. He looks at you as someone, you're a piece of paper that's clean. In my eyes, you're clean because of your faith. In my eyes, there's no stain there because of your faith in me. Because you believe in me. And you know why we believe? Because God raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our wrongdoings. Going back to what Jesus Christ has done. Was raised because of our justification. What is Paul saying here? We have the greatest proof that our faith is the correct faith. Because Jesus died and he rose again. The resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate proof that our faith in him is not futile. You know, earlier we mentioned different reasons why you don't believe that Jesus is the way. My only question, if you're still holding on to that kind of belief, what's your proof? You need to have a proof. You need to have a solid truth that supports your belief. Because if you don't have a solid proof with what you believe, then what you believe is wrong. And here's what I'm assuring you with. We have a solid proof. Jesus died and he rose again. That's why a lot of atheists come to Jesus and believe in him, because they cannot disprove his resurrection. Imagine the only person who lived on earth who said that he's gonna die and in 3 days he's gonna rise again, and he was able to pull it off. He's the only one who did it. His name is Jesus. Why wouldn't you believe in him? Why would you still hold on to different religion, to different belief system, to certain things that there's no solid proof? A lot of people would just say, well, I don't know if there's a proof, but this belief looks good. Looks good will not bring you to heaven, guys. Only Jesus will. That's why we have his resurrection. What's our message again? God is a promise keeper. That's the best assurance. We can trust his character, we can trust his power, and we can trust his timing. Now, I want you to watch this video of this lady who was praying for something from the Lord. And somehow, it was delayed in her eyes. It took time, but she still trusted God. She still kept believing, and God honored her faith. Let's watch this testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Melrose Ukaya, married to my late husband, Pastor, for 50 years. When my husband and I got married, we had a dream. It was to have many, many children. We wanted to complete the letters A to Z for the names of our children. That is why the name of our first child is Amabel Binky, representing the first letters of the alphabet. After Binky was born, jokingly we told the nurse that we will be coming back next year and every year until we complete the alphabet. But God had other plans. Sadly, I was unable to conceive in the next years. God used this time of waiting for me to draw near to him. I began to take my relationship with God more seriously. I prayed fervently to God, asking him for a son. I even prayed the prayer of Hannah in the Bible when she prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." Then one day, almost 13 years after my first baby, God allowed me to conceive. And by God's grace, he granted us our request. He gave us a son, and we named him Paolo Marti. As a Christian mom, I tried my best to bring my two children to church for them to listen to God's word and know Jesus personally. It was a desire that I thought God would grant right away, but he did not. It was again a journey of faith and fervent prayer. You see, because my first child was an only child for more than 12 years, she was a spoiled brat. And since my second one came after many years of waiting, he was the baby of everyone. Hence, he grew up spoiled as well. But that did not stop me from hoping in the Lord, believing that their lives are in his hands and that he can change them for his glory. I remember when I would drive Marty to school from nursery to grade school, we would pray inside the car before going down. After years of praying, praise God, they started serving the Lord in church. Throughout the years, I never stopped praying for them and entrusting them to God. I never knew how God would answer my prayers. I just trusted that God would work mightily in their lives. And indeed, he did. My daughter Binky, even while she was single, was committed in discipling ladies and serving in various ministries. And now that she is married, she continues to serve God with her husband in CCA Feliz and discipling young couples. And remember my son whom I dedicated to the Lord? God honored my commitment to him. He now serves full-time in Elevate, the youth movement of CCF. He is being used by God to reach thousands of youth in our country. One time, as I watched him speaking on stage in CCF, I cried with tears of joy and gratefulness to my Lord. I never imagined that this was how God would use my children for his glory. Indeed, when you entrust your family to the Lord, he will hear and honor your prayers. We just need to do our part in loving them and praying for them fervently. To my faithful God who answers prayers, To Him be all glory, honor, and praise.
I think you figured out already, that's my mom. And yeah, that baby that she was praying for, I was that baby. She dedicated me to the Lord. I wanted to show you that testimony because I've seen how faithful God is in the life of my mom. And I really believe the reason why I'm here, I'm serving, is because God answered her prayers. God kept His promise. Because God is a promise keeper. And that's my challenge to you. You know, the faithfulness of God, it's not just through my mom. I've seen that many times. And that's why as we end, I want you to look at this line. I want you to step in faith and hold on to His ways, for He will always be faithful. Now, some of you are here, you haven't stepped in faith and trusted the Lord for your life, for your salvation. My prayer is that today, you will do that. That you will trust God with all of your heart. You let go of whatever religion or things that you're holding on, good works that you're holding on for your salvation. And you just humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I cannot save myself. I'm stepping in faith and I'm trusting you because you're the only way, truth, and life. I'm going to pray for you in a while. But maybe for some of you, you do have that faith in Jesus. You believe in the Lord already, but somehow as you're walking that path, in that way of the Lord, somehow you're sidetracked. Somehow you're thinking, wait a minute, I don't see God's promise right now. I don't see where He's leading me. There's so many difficulties that are happening. That's why I want to encourage you, hold on to His ways. Because look at the last line there, He will always, what? Be faithful. God will always be faithful. What's our message again? God is a promise keeper. Can we all bow down our heads and close our eyes? Now, I want to pray for two groups of people here today. Maybe for those who are joining us online. The first group of people that I want to pray for, maybe for some of you who are here, you haven't really trusted God with your heart. You don't know if you're going to go to heaven. You're still holding on to religion, good works, different belief system, but somehow today, somehow God is revealing to you, anak, that's not going to save you. That's not the way. That's not the path. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. If you're that person and you want to receive Jesus in your heart, to be serious with the Lord, I want you to pray something like this. Say to Jesus something like this. Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I realize I cannot save myself. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need your grace. So Jesus, with all of my heart, I humble myself and I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Be the God of my life. Starting today, I choose to follow you. Now for the second group of people that I want to pray for, Lord, a lot of people who are here, they do have faith in you. But somehow this journey is very tough. They know you're a promise keeper. We know that, Lord. But somehow, ang hirap lang talaga, Lord. It's just challenging. The problems are there. The difficulties are there. The pains are there. The sickness are there. Financial crisis is there. Many other things are there. But you keep telling us, Lord, to stay in this course. Please give us the strength. Help us to keep holding on to you. Help us to continue serving and living for you. Because as you have promised, you are always faithful. And you are our promise keeper. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen and amen. God bless you all.